Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. You're listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. My name is Issa Martel. Today is the 20th of Rabi al-Awwal in the year 1443 of the Hijra of the Muslims, which we now call the Hijri calendar, the migration of the Muslims from Mecca to Medina, is when they marked the beginning of this calendar. This corresponds to Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. So, it's been a busy couple weeks. Our court thing was dismissed. So if you listened to a previous episode where I was ranting about courts with my kid, it was dismissed. we did get told by the judge her opinion on the matter, and she was under the opinion that children, or at least in our child here, but I would imagine this would be to any kid that appeared in front of her, that they should be punished for behaviors that happened due to a physical or mental disability. So, for example, she thought that our son should have been punished for, like, being triggered to the point in his autism where he, like, struck out and swung the stool or something at this teacher, which was really alarming to me. And this teacher, or this judge, the judge had to dismiss it because the prosecution, after we had like documentation and medical evaluation for our kid, it was determined that our kid can't, like, be in a trial, like, mentally. It's just not something, this is, like, it basically, it was said, this is not something that's possible. And because of that, the court has to dismiss it, because this was all done, like, in the legal ways to cause this to happen. So the court had to dismiss it, but the judge just felt like berating us, as like insinuating that we're like garbage parents and that we don't see that this is our kid acting out, not that he has a you know, physical, he has autism, technically he has Asperger's, but yeah, so that was a shock. But not surprising, you know, not surprising that someone, and this woman, of course, was a white woman with blonde hair, probably old, probably like in her 50s, maybe 60, I don't know. You know, for her to see things in such a manner was more eye-opening, but like I said, not surprising in one bit. But, alhamdulillah, this was dismissed, and that was done. So, that's a good thing. I noticed that it's almost Halloween, so is kind of like surprising to me that October had gone this fast. And when I was younger, Halloween was probably my favorite holiday by far. I'm a huge horror fan. So, you know, this fit into everything that I liked, and we got to dress up in costumes and this type of thing and all that. So I do, you know, look around and see what people are doing now as I drive at work and stuff. And I noticed that there are very few houses decorated for Halloween. So on the total bus route that I work on, there's like 3 or 4 houses, maybe there might be 4, that have their houses decorated. Out of a lot, that's like out of East St. Paul, North St. Paul, up by Maplewood Mall, like this whole area. So I was curious, like, why? And because there wasn't decorations, I kind of didn't really keep track of the time. Like, it didn't occur to me until just the other day how late in October it was, and there still aren't any. So I don't know if Halloween is canceled, like the trick-or-treating aspect, or is this, I mean, I doubt it's canceled, but it might, like, because of COVID and this type of thing is why I'm asking. And I didn't really notice it last year, so I think last year it was because I was driving on a different route, and that route goes up and down Lake Street, which is not a residential street. It's a commerce, I guess, street. It's stores for miles. So, you know, nothing, I didn't really notice that. Let me just look here. Well, I guess some people are canceling Halloween. Let's see why this place, this is one day ago, Melrose, Massachusetts. Let's see why they said. The streets of Melrose, Massachusetts are ready for spooky season, but in the city schools, Halloween is now off limits. The superintendent said the decision was made to promote inclusivity, but some parents do not buy it, and they are not afraid to fight back. Oh, well, this isn't what I was looking for, but this is actually an excellent freaking topic. Look at that. I always have this problem, right? I have the problem, and it's in the school, and this problem specifically, because we don't celebrate Halloween. I mean, we don't get, like, costumes and dress up and do that type of stuff. So when they have it in the school, it's an issue, because now my kid wants to dress up in school, you know, because that's the fun thing, and, you know, that's what everyone's doing and stuff. So you, the parent, are made to look like the, like, not like the bad guy, but to me, this starts like a something between the kid and the parent then, right? That the parent's way of doing things, now he or she is seeing, maybe might be like a minority. Like, I'm sure, well, I know for a fact that my kid is the only Muslim in his class. So, you know, now this creates like an identity thing when, and him being young, the age that he is, you know, he, in his mind, the religion aspect and stuff like this is kind of like beyond their heads. You know, if we want to speak honestly about children. So he's looking at it from like the fun perspective and this type of thing. And then, you know, this starts to put it in there, where our school should be neutral and not, I don't think the school should celebrate any holidays. So I think that's just how it, maybe Thanksgiving. Okay. The non-religious holidays, like it should celebrate Thanksgiving, I guess, if it's going to celebrate something. Because they're more cultural holidays, like 4th of July. These things aren't tied to a religion, but an action that happened in the country's history. So those types of things I consider like cultural holidays. And they're great. I don't you know what I mean? Like, so in a school setting, which is supposed to be public and all this, I think that they shouldn't do that. And this exact problem that the superintendent is saying, I 100% back this prop this I them doing this. But now, of course, some parents do not buy it, and they are not afraid to fight back. So let's see why these people are fighting back. I'm anxious now to see this. Cal Finocchiaro, Fonacchiaro, I'm not sure, maybe that's, I don't know how to pronounce that last name. A Melrose mother of three thought it was a trick when she heard the district was doing away with Halloween celebrations in the classroom. It just came out of nowhere, and we just can't wrap our heads around it, she said. She found out just 2 weeks before one of her sons was going to dress up and attend one at Winthrop Elementary. Teachers are being told to take down jack-o'-lanterns from their rooms and replace them with leaves. They are just de-emphasizing Halloween. They are removing the term and everything that goes with it, she said. In an email to parents, the superintendent explained the reasoning behind her decision, said she said in order to focus on community building through fall celebrations, the district has to de-emphasize Halloween. We pride ourselves on being one community open for all. For this to be true, we must live this mantra in all that we do. This includes school celebrations, Superintendent Julie Kuchenberger wrote. Well, there it is. I mean, finally, we have somebody who gets it. Finally, and this is in Massachusetts. So, yeah. Those who disagree started a petition to try and save the holiday at school. It now has more than 1,000 signatures. There are hundreds and hundreds of people in this town who are not okay with this change, Cal Finoshi, well, whoever that is, said. Actually, I think whoever wrote this article spelled the last name two different ways. Hold on a second. Yeah, so the first time it's Finocchiaro. And then the next time it's the ending is Chario. So that would be Finocario or Shario. Finocchiario, maybe? Which comes off the. That's probably the correct way because that's. Rolls off the tongue better. So I'm curious though why these people are like they haven't said why like what's the reason they want to keep it. Here's another person. I don't mind dressing up, but symbolic foods and whatnot in the classes were something we tolerated, but were not 1,000% comfortable with. Mom Tamar Foreman said, "Oh, huh, there you go." With the guidance coming out so late, parents say many teachers are confused. Some of the children are being asked to dress up while others aren't. At the very least, they want more consistency, but they say having Halloween back would be the ultimate treat. Especially following a pandemic, their lives were turned upside down, and you're choosing this year, the first year they're back in school, to take this away. For what purpose? I don't understand. Parent Scarlett Rajbanshi said, I mean, come on. This tells you the type of people these are right here, this comment. This, I mean, they're probably white. Let's start with that in Boston. This is probably a white suburb of Boston or something. So, and I mean, it's I don't know. The parents who started the petition are planning a costume parade to draw attention to the issue. Due to the rain, it has been rescheduled for Thursday afternoon outside Melrose High. Well, good. Good for you. Go have your little parade. And see, this is how it should be, right? Because then the parade is something that's outside of the school. So it's a separate event. So not everybody is obliged to be there. It's not like a mandatory parade that the whole city has to attend every year, you know. But that's what school is. School is something your kids have to go to. So it's mandatory that they are going to be exposed to whatever the school teaches, you know. So I think these people are whack. And good for this school district for doing this. This is in Melrose, Massachusetts. So that was from October 25th. Good for them. Well, that was a little bit of a tangent. And yeah, so I guess it's not canceled. In St. Paul, I didn't see anything. I was thinking more like trick or treat camp being canceled. Not. Let me see if I type that in. St. Paul. Trick or treat. Here we go. Oh, it looks like it's Saturday night is trick-or-treat. All right. Yeah, it looks like that's where every these stores are. So I wonder if it's a citywide. Let's see here. Halloween 2021 events in St. Paul. Well, I mean, if you're listening to this right when I publish it, which will be today, the 27th, you might be able to still catch something. Here you go. What's on the 27th? Rocky Horror Picture Show 45th Anniversary Tour. Well, there you go. Probably kids, I mean, when I was in high school, it was kind of dying, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like the one when you go and see it, like at the movie theater, and they play the movie, and, you know, they do it. So it was kind of, I remember going a bunch of times, and I don't know, it wasn't ever super crowded or anything like that. But I don't know how it is in Minnesota. That was in Pennsylvania. But let's see what this is. Oh, well, look at this. Barry Bostwick is there. With Shadowcast Transvestite Soup. So, he looks pretty old now. And it's $35. Holy cow. Huh. But if you did that, if you are a fan of this, I can't imagine this would be super great. But, you know, if you are, that is going on tonight. Oh, is it at First Avenue, too? Where is it at? Oh, at the Fitzgerald. But you do have to have a COVID test or a vaccination. So if you don't have those, then you ain't going to be able to go. So anyway, yeah, that's what's going on here in Minneapolis and St. Paul regards to that type of stuff. I was wondering. So we're when you look at the moon, it was like the full moon the other night, and I was looking at it, and I thought like about how we only ever see the one side of the moon, and it's because the moon takes 27 days to rotate. And so that's, you know, well, let's see here. Let me read it for you. The moon orbits the Earth once every 27.322 days. It also takes approximately 27 days for the moon to rotate once on its axis. As a result, the moon does not seem to be spinning, but appears to observers from Earth to be keeping almost perfectly still. Scientists call this synchronous rotation. So, right, why is this the case, right? Now, I'm going to talk like, kind of like from a religious type of perspective, I guess, or if you want to be spiritual or whatever, this could apply to you too. If everything was intentionally done by a creator, why would it be done so that we only ever see one side? So it appears like this. So we don't, basically, so, you know, we see it like this. I feel that when we look at the moon and the sky, right, we don't truly see depth, like depth of field, unless, like, for example, like we see birds, right, but they're real low, so you don't have a super sense of scale or height. But maybe if you see a plane, right, or maybe like two planes or something, you'll see, like, you kind of feel, you have like a depth of field then, because there's objects moving and the distance between you and multiple objects, each object is moving at like a slower pace, like the further away or whatever, you know. But this visually, I feel, is what creates like the depth, like, oh, you can, that's really far, and I can, like, you kind of can see distance that way. Like, if you're just looking at, say you're looking out a field, right, it's hard to gauge, and you're just standing in one spot looking straight, it's hard to gauge the distance, right? But if you, say, put some markers in the field and then, like, move left and right or something, you can see the distance, you know, because the one closest to you will be, you know, moving more than the one all the way back there. So this is what I'm talking about. So like you see, like movement, causes, like your eyes seeing movement triggers you to incorporate like the depth into it, right? Like into your brain, like, okay, and that's how you're getting like a sense of depth, you know. Now, when we look at the moon, it's flat, right? So it looks like not, I mean, we know it's a round object, but you can't really tell if it's spherical. So what if the moon wasn't synced up and we saw it rotating, right? So if you see the moon rotating, you would see a massive, right? You would instantly, I think, change, like, how we understand our position in relationship to us being a planet and that being a moon and we're floating through space, you know, because you would see a massive, you would have a really, at least I feel, I mean, there's no way to prove this, I guess, unless we landed on another planet that had, or we landed on a moon, or I don't know, maybe it doesn't, maybe this wouldn't happen because we landed on the moon and they were on the moon and saw the Earth. So I don't know, but what I'm thinking would happen is that if we were viewing it spinning, it would drive people like insane, I think. I think it's because you would have like a massive sense, whether is maybe this would be like an unconscious thing, you know, but it would affect the depth between when you look at the moon. If it was rotating, first off, you'd see it as a sphere and not as like a plate, right? So now you're seeing a ball, a big massive ball rotating. And because I think you would see, you know, like the equator part would be rotating differently than the poles, you know, because of the curve and how you see things spin. And I think that seeing all this will make you feel like there is an actual, a big physical object floating like right there. And I think that might like make your brain, and this would probably like be all unconscious or sub, like you wouldn't be consciously thinking this. It would be like subconscious. You would be always have this, like when the moon would come up or be out, you would have like this feeling of, I don't know, like you would feel the space more between you and the moon. And because that space, like we don't really sense that now, like we can't say like, oh, how it took them like 2 days to get to the moon, you know, so that's pretty far, but we don't have that sense of farness, you know. And I think perhaps if we saw the moon rotating, then that would give us this massive sense of space, like, wow, that is really far. And like maybe when the moon is up in the sky, not close to the horizon, say it was full and it was up, you might, if you looked up and saw that, would you get the sense that you might be like upside down and can fall to the moon? You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. That's just what I was thinking, like some things like this, you know? And then like, I don't know, like in that type of sense of thing, scale, I guess. I mean, obviously you wouldn't because of gravity and the size of these objects and things like this, but, you know, maybe it would have some sort of effect on us. And I think they think that the full moon has an effect on you, even though I think a lot of people, let's see. this is from Smithsonian. That's from 2012. Oh, let's see this one. It's from the BBC, 2019. So this one's pro lunar cycle can influence behavior. All right. The idea, this is from July 2019. The idea that the lunar cycle can influence people's behavior dates back thousands of years, but has been largely dismissed by modern medicine. But new research suggests that there may be some truth to these ancient theories. Alrighty. The 35-year-old man sitting in blah, blah, blah. Alright, so some guy was a problem solver and had noticed his moods were swinging. Sometimes involving suicidal fantasies or seeing and hearing things that weren't there. The man's sleep pattern was similarly erratic, veering from near total insomnia to getting 12 hours per night. Well, So he noticed this about himself and started to record it, which was pretty interesting. Then he said it was the rhythmicity of it that intrigued me. He said to him it looked very much like, this is the psychiatrist talking. I think that's who he went to. Yeah. talking, and he said to him it looked very much like the patient's mood and sleep patterns were tracking rise and fall of Earth's oceans, which are driven by gravitational pull of the moon. So he thinks that the high tides occurred during the night when sleep duration was short. He initially dismissed it. Because even if the man's mood cycles were in sync with the moon, he had no mechanism to explain it nor any ideas about what to do about it. The patient was prescribed drugs and light therapy to stabilize his mood and sleep and eventually discharged. He slipped the notes in the drawer and closed it. And later on, he published a... Yeah, all right, let me get to the... Let's see. All right, finally, they're getting down to... There might be something. The moon affects Earth in several ways. The first and most obvious is through the provision of moonlight, with the full moon coming around every 29.5 days and a new moon following 14.8 days after that. Then there's the moon's gravitational pull, which creates the ocean tides that rise and fall every 12.4 hours. The height of those tides also follows roughly 2-week cycles. The 14.8 day spring neap cycle, which is driven by the combined pull of the moon and the sun, and the 13.7 day declination cycle, which is driven by the moon's position relative to Earth's equator. Huh. So it was in these 2-week cycles in the when this guy's stuff synchronized with. It's not that they necessarily switched into depression or mania every 13.7 or 14.8 days. It's just that they switched from depression to mania. It's just that if that switch from depression to mania occurs, it doesn't happen at just any old time. It tends to occur during a certain phase of the lunar tidal cycle. That's pretty interesting. And there's some other, I guess, evidence they talk about that's similar. Here we go. Further evidence. for the moon's influx on these patients' moods comes from the discovery that every 206 days, these otherwise regular rhythms appear to be interrupted by another lunar cycle, the one responsible for creating supermoons, when the Earth's elliptical orbit brings it particularly close to the Earth. That's pretty cool. Ann Wirtz Justice, a chronobiologist at the psychiatric hospital of the University of Basel, Switzerland, describes Weir's data on this relationship between lunar and manic depressive cycles as believable but complex. And she also says they don't know what the mechanics are. In theory, the light of the full moon might disrupt people's sleep, which could influence their mood. This is particularly true of bipolar patients whose mood episodes are often precipitated by disrupted sleep or circadian rhythms, 24-hour oscillations in our biology and behavior, which can become disrupted as a result of shift work or taking a long-haul flight. There's even evidence that sleep deprivation can be used to lift bipolar patients out of depression. Well, huh. And so he goes on, I guess. But this guy thinks that the moonlight in his, whatever his patients were, that wasn't the case. It was that the actual gravity, which I would believe too, like the light, the moonlight, because that would have been happening a lot if that, like, was the case, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, so he even says, in the modern world, there's so much light pollution, and we spend so much time indoors exposed to artificial light that the signal of the changing levels of moonlight has been obscured. There, yeah, that's true. You know, I didn't even notice that. Here at my house, you know when it's a full moon. There's a clear difference, like the full moon and when it's the new moon. 'Cause the full moon, I mean, the whole yard is lit up and you can see, it looks like there's like low level lighting. But in the new moon, it's like really black. So, well, he goes on and they talk about it in more detail. But that is kind of interesting. Huh. So, yeah. I mean, so clearly the moon has some sort of effect on you. You know, whether it's something that in the future will figure out the mechanicisms or the mechanism for or not. I mean, it seems that forever people thought it did, and you know, stuff like that, it generally tend to be true then. You know, so would the spinning then, like, so okay, so there we go, there's something we can say to it. So if the gravity just causes this, like, imagine if there's another, you know, another element to it, and that is, like, sensing another, like, sensation or feeling or something. If, like, for example, if we were seeing it rotate as well. So, I don't know. That's about it, I guess. I have another topic, but this one's kind of going, so I'll just save that for another time. If you listen to now, thank you for listening. Till next time, have a good day. Assalamu alaikum.